Hi, I'm Luke Dennis, the Development Director at WYSO. We are happy we can deliver these programs to you, people who listen on the web, and we rely on you to help us pay for this service. So at our website, wyso.org, click Support This Station and help keep these services coming. And thank you.
Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome to the program today Lynn Goldsmith. Hello, Lynn.
Hi. It's really a pleasure to be here with you and your audience.
Lynn, I got so excited when I heard about this book, and then I got it, Rock and Roll Stories. I opened it up, and I just said, wow. What a book. What a story. What made you decide to finally admit that you're a rock and roll photographer?
Well, I got old enough that it became very sexy to be called that. I mean, it's really all about me. So as long as that term means that you are young and hot and glamorous, I'll embrace it.
All right. Reading your bio here, I know you had a previous book that was an autobiographical memoir sort of book. I admit I have not read that particular one, but I got caught up because you have so much biographical material in here about growing up in Detroit. I loved reading these stories. You used to hang out at the Grandy Ballroom?
Oh yeah, I also performed there in a band called The Walking Wounded. So both of those things.
Well, just by a really weird coincidence, my producer sitting here today is also from Detroit.
Uh-huh.
And he used to be in a band that used to open up for bands at the Grandy, and they called themselves the Ashmolean Quintet.
Oh, I think that must have been after my time, because
Okay. We
kind of all knew each other, and unfortunately, I'm not familiar with that band. Yeah.
They were an opening band, just like you were an opening band. And you ended up going to a party and running into Jimi Hendrix, and you gave him his belt?
No. I did run into Jimi Hendrix. I'm not going to say no to that. But what I talk about in the book is you'll see a photograph of me in a poster for The Walking Wounded, and I'm wearing a hat, which I more or less decorated with my round, circular, silver belt. And when I went to this party, which was after a show at the Grandy, there was Jimi Hendrix, and he said to me that he really liked, what I did to my hat. So I took the belt off of my hat. You know, it had obviously been shortened because my waist isn't really that small. And I said, here, take it, And that was really the last that I saw of my belt until I saw Baron Wolman's photo of Jimmy, who was wearing it on his hat. And I've always been quite proud of that in some way, I continued a connection to Jimi Hendrix.
And you fell in love with photography at an early age. Your dad had a dark room in the house, and he knew you were interested in photography. And this became kind of a way of, he was able to express his affection for you through photography, wasn't he?
Yes, and actually I've heard similar stories from other photographers, many of whom are well known. And I think that, the purpose in Rock and Roll Stories in the book of sharing my life is because I want others to see how their own life affected the course of events that happened to them. I think that having been in situations that I always hear, what was it like to be on the road with the Rolling Stones or, Bruce Springsteen? What was it like to meet this one or that one? I think that there's an interest in my story, and my story is only one in which I point out, as you have, mentioned the Jimi Hendrix experience that I had, or the situation with my dad. You know, what I'm pointing out is that we all have things that happen to us. And oftentimes it's not till you're looking back at your life that you realize the connection between events and how they led you, hopefully, down a path that you are now happy to have followed.
Lynn Goldsmith joins us. Her new book is Rock and Roll Stories, and it's one of those great big books that you're going to see on coffee tables all over America, because this thing is just jammed with these wonderful photos that Lynn has taken over the years. But you took kind of a circuitous path, but you had all these fortuitous things that happened, like you're selling Nixon Agnew puppets and someone comes up to you from the National Lampoon. I mean, how bizarre.
Well, actually, I made the puppets. So, and sometimes I thought about being a puppeteer. So, you know, yeah, you can have a direction that you think you're following, and it's as simple as that. You put yourself out there, and things happen to you. So I think that actually it happens in everyone's life, and to be conscious of that can give us all a certain amount of, I think, comfort in knowing that, you know, you will have things, positive things that happen to you, and if you, you know, work hard and persevere, you will follow a path which leads you to, you know, your bliss. That's how I look at it.
And just by following this path, at one point you ended up managing Grand Funk Railroad. This just blew me away.
Yeah, that was another opportunity to reconnect with my Michigan roots. I was actually, you know, lucky enough to become a director of a network television show called ABC in Concert. And it was during that Grand Funk decided to do a special, and I was quite bored with just taping concerts, so I asked if we could connect it to Phoenix House, since they're album Phoenix had just been released, and I thought that that might, you know, make more people aware of this organization, which was like a halfway house for young people who had become addicted to drugs to get back into society again. So I think that, you know, everything that I've ever been able to partake in, you know, I walk into it as I did in the Grand Funk situation, where I just said, you know, I'm willing to do this and this, and you don't even have to pay me, and then I'll prove my worth, and then it will be worthwhile to you. And that's why I really look at Rock and Roll Stories as an opportunity to share not only the, you know, behind-the-scenes moments that I have with individuals who have become iconic for a lot of people, because music is such a healing in a way that we connect to each other, but that the fact that, you know, that the book is a reminder, you know, that we all have stuff that happens to us, including these iconic music figures, so, you know, that make us who we are. And that's really my main reason, other than wanting people to think I'm young and sexy, that I would do this book called Rock and Roll Stories.
Lynn Goldsmith joins us. Lynn, back in the early 80s, I was running a record store in Des Moines, and one day my Warner rep came in and handed me a promo on Island Records by an artist named Will Powers, and I threw it on the turntable and started spinning it, and I just went crazy. I just love this record. I'm like, who is this person? Who are these
great
musicians? And when I figured it out, I said, this is genius.
Thank you. Well, I think Will Powers is probably the best thing that I ever did in my life, because people not only hopefully, you know, dance around their house to it, but that they get a few laughs. And then on top of that, hopefully, if you play it enough, you know, you things might become more positive in your life. And I really felt that if we were making an effort to put positive lyrics with music, that it would sink into not just our culture, but our society, and then hopefully spread to other societies. And yeah, so Willpowers is still alive. I'm working on an EP now, which should be released in about 6 months, of four songs. And I'm really most excited in that role of being that particular character.
Wow, can't wait for that. Well, I gave that record to a really good friend of mine 30 years ago, and she was deeply touched and still is affected by it, and we've been married for the last 15 years.
Well, that's great to hear. So that must mean you two have been kissing with confidence.
Thank you. Thank you. We began our adventures in success.
Oh, yes. Just finding each other and being together all of this time, I'm sure, has been a journey that it oftentimes might not appear to be rewarding, but obviously you're still together, so you know how much it is rewarding to both of you to have, you know, someone you know who loves you.
We actually have some of the promotional material up on the wall of our house still, with the placards and the aphorisms.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still there?
Well, there'll be more of those.
All right. In your book, Rock and Roll Stories, Lynn, you describe musicians as strange angels, and you say that you've noticed sometimes musical genius comes in people who are kind of psychologically imbalanced. Could you illuminate us on what you're talking about there?
Sure. I think that there are certain people who are able to tap into a kind of creativity that lots of others wish they could, but what they don't necessarily take into account is that those individuals are not normal people. And I think that comes from, I mean, that's my personal take on it, you know, that it comes from the brain just being wired differently. And that doesn't mean that people who are normal don't have the opportunity to be creative, but there are people who I believe are genius. And that everything has its pluses and minuses, and I think every gift, even, you know, the ones that seem to bring money and fame and what others think is a life that they would want to lead, brings a certain amount of you know, pain and heartache that I don't know if they knew about that they'd want the whole kit and caboodle. I think they'd be grateful for just being who they are.
And I imagine some of them probably had a tough time when they were kids, had difficult childhoods.
Probably, but there, you know, I think we all have had, no matter, even if it looks, you know, like white picket gates and roses, I think every individual has issues within a family that, you know, causes them to either, for the rest of their life, approach problems in positive ways, or, you know, to not have the strength and the foundation necessarily to do that. So they have to find it somewhere. But, you know, I really, that's just sort of my take on it. And one of the reasons I have that take is because oftentimes people who meet very famous people who are one of these geniuses, you know, are disappointed in them, and that's because they expect them to be normal. Uh-huh. And, you know, a genius is not a normal person. So don't expect it, and you won't be disappointed.
Lynn Goldsmith joins us. Her new book is Rock and Roll Stories. It's just full of these wonderful photos that Lynn has taken over her career. And you give us these great anecdotes with all the pictures. And some of these, you just made the point about how sometimes we approach a person like this and we're like, wow, they're not what I expected. You describe approaching Prince and how difficult that was.
Well, he was, you know, was and is extremely shy. And there, as was Michael Jackson, and these individuals, you know, appear on stage to be, you know, quite extroverted and quite able to be part of the crowd, part of the community. But in fact, you know, when the lights are off and the music is not playing, you know, lights off meaning on a stage, you know, when they're not on a stage, it's actually very difficult for them to function in a way that that other people would assume, oh, you know, that's my man, but and so they get offended. But in fact, it's just because that person is incredibly shy, and you know, that's actually what has motivated them to pursue a career where so much of it is on stage. You know, that's where they connect to themselves, to other people. So the book, you know, it's not just anecdotes. It's actually written to be a book divided into chapters. And I talk about, as you pointed out, there's Strange Angels, but there's Style, you know, which is really meant for people who want to be photographers now, oftentimes, to understand what, you know, how I created my images. So I'm attempting as well, because it is both a written book and a photography book. You know, it's a coffee table photo book, but to write enough that those people who are also interested in photography or in how your relationships enable you to do something that's unique to you. And that's really what the, you know, what the point of the book is to have it read by someone who, with the visuals and with the words, is able to connect something to themselves that will hopefully be helpful. Not unlike Will Powers. I mean, it's all the same.
Well, as we're airing this in December, I'm sure we have some listeners who are saying, you know, this book probably would be a really nice gift for that rock and roll lover that I know, and it's that beautiful, beautiful coffee table book. It's huge. It's gigantic. It's massive. It's immense, and it's got all these great photos.
Yes, it is at a very affordable price for the size of that book. The book weighs 6 pounds.
Yeah, I picked it up and my lectern dropped when I set it down on top of it.
Yeah, it's like I had a small baby. Yeah.
Lynn Goldsmith joins us. You have so many photos in here of musical geniuses who sadly are no longer with us. You've got Michael Jackson, Elvis, Frank Zappa, one of my favorites. You touched my heart when you said that you went and saw the Mothers of Invention and how you liked them. Frank Zappa, what an amazing guy. I love the photo of him with the Barbie doll.
Yes. Well, Frank was always a pleasure to work with because as an artist, he really collaborated, and he was just so much fun to be around because he is so smart, and you could always learn something from him as well as just have a good time making work.
And then another one of my favorites who left us very tragically, and sometimes I wonder, you know, could he still be around if he had sought the proper medical care? You had an encounter with Bob Marley, and at one point he said to you, I have a brain tumor.
Yeah, I don't know if Bob could, possibly, you know, but I definitely felt that Frank could. Frank had a form of cancer that, if detected early, if you pay attention to, you know, your problems, you know, unfortunately, none of us want to believe that, you know, a disease like that can take over our body, but, you know, you got to listen to your body. So hopefully as time goes on, either there'll be a cure or more people will listen to their body.
Mm. So many of these stories just tickled my funny bone. I've had some guests on this program before who were very well-known writers, and I remember one time I had a guy come in, and this is a guy who every time he puts out a book, it goes to number one on the New York Times list, and he came in, and I said, gosh, I said, it's really great to finally meet you for the first time, and he looked at me and says, what do you mean? He says, I was here last year. You have a story like that with Pete Townsend.
Yeah, I know. Well, he reminded me that there are moments that I forget and that I actually have to look at my pictures to remind me. So I'm really glad that I've been a photographer or I wouldn't have a lot of the memories that I have. And that was also another reason for writing rock and roll stories. I want to make sure I get it down on paper, before the computer's too full and I eject information.
You're also very frank about some of your close connections with some of these individuals. Like the guy on the cover of the book, you've got this wonderful photo of Bruce Springsteen wearing this leather jacket. And you and Bruce were pretty tight there for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. He was my boyfriend. But the reason for the image of Bruce on the cover, which I'm fortunate that it's Bruce because so many people like him, is really because he's doing the shush sign, and also because I wanted to tell the story about that jacket, which was actually my jacket that I wore in The Walking Wounded. There's, I think, a really sweet story about what happened to the jacket.
Is that the Graceland story?
Well, they'll have to get the book to find out.
Okay, yeah, right. Sorry, I'm not trying to do spoilers. And Bruce really liked that jacket a lot.
No,
I'm just
not
kidding.
At all.
I'm just teasing.
Yeah, no, it really wasn't for him with the studs. He's
right.
A guy who's far more, not with that kind of splash in one's clothing.
Well, there's so many stories in this book. There's no way I could spoil them all because there's just so darn many of them. Tom Petty, if he was a brunette, do you think he'd get more respect?
Absolutely.
I love that.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
I love that. And one of the nicest people I've ever met in the music world is Patti Smith. I just love her. I'm so glad she's found success as a writer.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, she's always had really some success as a writer. That's how she was known, in the circles of New York before she was known as a poet.
Mm-hmm.
Before she was known for being Patti Smith, the musician. So I'm really glad that she made a promise to Robert Mapplethorpe that she would, before he passed, that she would write a book about their relationship. And because of that promise, she wrote Just Kids, which I think opened up a lot of doors for people who weren't familiar with Patti to really find out more about her. And I think that's great because, as you said, she is a truly good person and actually quite inspirational.
Mm. And we also get the sense that you've had some long friendships with some of these individuals, people like Iggy Pop and Todd Rundgren.
Yeah, well, I've known Iggy since U of M, so that's like 1965. That's a long time ago. And, and Todd, I can't remember the year I met him, but it was, probably, it's in the book, 69 or 70.
Mm.
So it's really great to be able to have, friends like that who are always, working as artists as well. You don't feel like you're too old when you surround yourself with friends who are also motivated to keep on, making work.
You actually have a photo in the book of someone who's probably the most controversial guest I've ever had on this program. People still remember my interview with him because he was completely in my face. He was confrontational. He accused me of being on drugs. You met this guy at a Dairy Queen.
Oh, Ted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 12. Yeah, Ted just does that for effect.
Uh-huh.
You know? He's really a sweet guy. So don't take offense with him. And, you know, I always have to remind myself when he starts on one of his rants that that's just kind of part of the Nugent program. Yeah.
Mm. Did you ever go to the Mump in Pontiac?
No.
Oh, okay.
Uh-uh. Pontiac was, like, far away when you're a kid who doesn't drive.
Yeah. Well, this is such a fun book. It's Rock and Roll Stories. Lynn Goldsmith wrote it, and she's been my guest on the program today. And you have one photo in here of a guy who put out his music memoir last year, and I thought, gosh, can I get an interview with this guy? Then I thought, you're dreaming. Don't even bother. And then when I heard about the difficulty you've had taking a photograph of Neil Young, I kind of understood.
Well, it's not that I had difficulty taking a photograph. The opportunity never arose for us to work together. And he was the one person that I really did want to work with. So I tell the story in the book about how when I had finished Photo Diary, a situation happened where we were both in the same place, but I knew that Neil really wasn't there. He wasn't there to work.
Mm.
And it would be rather inappropriate because he was there to relax. So I talk about my struggle and how I just couldn't help but right as I was leaving, snap a picture. But I have to say that, you know, I did speak with his management before I finished this book, who is an old friend of mine. And I said, I still haven't worked with Neil. Maybe, like, I could get, you know, a picture to update the book. But that didn't happen in time. So as the book states, you know, it's now how many years later? And I still, So certain people, I guess, you know, come across your path and others don't.
There are so many classic shots in this book by Lynn Goldsmith, Rock and Roll Stories, for fans of David Bowie, Rod Stewart, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, James Brown, Bob Dylan. Just the list goes on and on and on. And I'm just trying to imagine all the photos that didn't make the cut. I mean, you just must, where do you keep all this stuff?
Well, there's also a lot of other artists in there, you know, from different generations. The Beastie Boys, you know, who one of them is, as you pointed out before, with other artists who were older, you know, no longer with us.
Mm.
And, you know, there's a range of newer artists as well who I find quite inspiring, like Michael Franti of Michael Franti and Spearhead.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, you know, there are stories in there that go beyond the 70s or the early 80s. You know, it continues, you know, past, you know, into the 2000s. So,
gotcha.
Well, so there's a lot more. That's why the book weighs 6 pounds.
and I'm just giving away my age, Lynn. That's all I'm doing by emphasizing those artists that I grew up with. Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, no, thank you.
The book is Rock and Roll Stories. Lynn Goldsmith has been our guest. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McKeonis. The Book Nook is recorded at Soundspace in Yellow Springs and engineered by Chris Hertzler.